beautiful day. Thank you for the privilege of being together.
Oh, Lord, the blessing that you pour into our lives, we want to say thank you for. And Lord, we take time out this morning to remember those who are suffering greatly. Lord, our God, we pray for the nation of Pakistan this morning, going through horrific floods and a situation that's nearly drowned the whole nation and thousands are dead. Lord, although this is a country that seeks another way, Father, we pray for them. That at this time in their great suffering and need, we pray that you'll send them people to help them, but your people, your children, and they'll not only help them practically, but spiritually. And we pray that the government of Pakistan will rise to the need of its people and bless them. We remember Ukraine today, the continued war there, and we pray, Father, for peace. We pray that you will come with peace, that you will cause the guns, dear Father, and the bombs to stop and peace to reign in this nation. Oh God, our Father, bless the leaders of the nation. Give them wisdom. And we pray that you bless the leaders of Russia and speak to them, Father. Show them the error of their ways. And let peace reign. And we know this morning, Father, there are so many other countries in the world in great need today. And we pray, Jesus, light of the world, let your love and your grace and your provision shine upon them, bringing peace, bringing help, bringing wholeness. Father, we ask it now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come to your word. And our Father, we pray that you will speak to us today. Lord, we need to hear you. We need to hear you this morning. We come, there are so many voices. There are so many things grabbing our attention. But this morning we would still those other voices. And Lord, we would come and listen to you. Speak, dear Lord, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, hover and move above this place. And Lord Jesus, be glorified, and this people be blessed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel. Now, Luke, all of the gospel writers, there are four gospels, if you don't know that. There are four gospel writers, and each of the gospel writers highlights a particular aspect of Jesus. Like Matthew writes with particular emphasis to the Jew. But Luke, practical Dr. Luke, he writes about Jesus who has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And right away, he takes us to Jesus at the beginning of chapter 19, and he says simply these words, Jesus entered Jericho. There's the personality, Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. And he enters Jericho, a city there in the Holy Land, alongside the River Jordan in the Jordan Valley. For you, if you don't know this, I was quite surprised to see that Jericho is the oldest inhabited city in the world. The city of Jericho, ancient Jericho. Jericho was the first place that Moses or Joshua came with the army of freed slaves from Egypt after 40 years of wandering on the brink of the promised land. They crossed over, and there, standing in the way, was the mighty fortress of Jericho. Scripture records for us how God enabled the people to pass through by demolishing Jericho and making a way for them. Jericho was the place where Rahab, the harlot, helped the people of God, the servants of God, the spies that were sent out. and it was in Jericho after it was later built and became a city of prominence that in around this area, Elijah and Elisha, the prophets, carried out their ministry. Elijah was being caught up to heaven in a whirlwind near to Jericho. And Herod the Great, the infamous Herod the Great, made Jericho an important place to which he retired to die. And Jericho became a little paradise with beautiful gardens, an ideal climate. If you've ever been to Jericho, and I'm fortunate to have been there, it's a city of palm trees, and it's a lovely climate. It's a beautiful place to see. Outside of Jericho, there's the desert, the wilderness. But as you come into Jericho, you see everywhere trees. It's known as the city of the palms. And it was to this ancient city, Jesus, the Ancient of Days, came. And he came for a purpose. Or, as it says in the scripture, he was just passing through. Jesus always had a purpose to where he was going. He sat at an ancient well, Sychar's well, in the middle of the day, when no one came out in the middle of the day. But Jesus sat there. He had a purpose. And he met a Samaritan woman. And Jesus came to Jericho. It goes on to say in verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Zacchaeus. Now it's interesting to note about Zacchaeus that his name means pure, innocent. And as we will find that Zacchaeus was anything but pure and innocent. He was a tax collector, but not just a tax collector. He was the chiefest of tax collectors. The nation, the land of Israel, the whole nation there, had been invaded by the Romans. The Romans were the big boys of the time. The Romans were the bully boys of the time. If you want, they were the Putin of the time. They invaded. They took over. And they divided the nation into three areas so that they could have the taxes collected off the people. Everybody had to pay to the Romans. And so the whole area, the land was split up into three areas for tax collecting. Capernaum in the north, Caesarea in the middle, and there to the south and the west was the rich, affluent city of Jericho. And the whole area was the biggest area. There was more money there for taxes than anywhere. And it's you that Zacchaeus was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. And it was to Jericho that Jesus came. What do we know about him? Well, I've already told you that he was the chief tax collector. He was not very popular. No tax collectors were very popular. The inhabitants disliked them intensely. Now, tax collectors, bless them, are not very popular today. But then they were hated. They were taking money for an invading army. And the problem was, particularly the chief tax collectors, they did more than take money from the people, from the Romans. They took extra. They lined their pockets. They took for themselves also. If the scroll said that Joseph had to pay 2 denarii, well, they would say, you must pay 3 denarii. 2 for the Romans, 1 for me. And 1 went into his pocket. Oh, yes, he was rich. He was rich because he took money off the backs of the people. And another thing we note about him is that he was little of stature. He wasn't very big. You know, you tend to think of big people being bossy and lording it about, domineering the people. But Zacchaeus was small. In fact, he was quite little of stature. Feel at home this morning, Kim. Feel at home. He was little of stature. And he had a poor reputation. The Message Bible says the people responded like this: what business does Jesus have getting cozy with a crook? That was Zacchaeus. He was a crook. And he wanted to see Jesus. Curiosity got the better of him. He heard that Jesus was coming. Let me tell you, as soon as Jesus came anywhere, there was a huge clamor for the people to meet with Jesus. Very often, not for really good reasons. They wanted to see a miracle. They thought he was a magician. They wanted him to see great things. But there were people that really sought him. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Curiosity got the better of him. He'd lived in the land for many years. And the great thing about the land, we knew, it was a religious country. They had religion up to here and higher. But the religion never brought satisfaction. It just brought a very strict and hard way of living. He was not looking for religion. Yes, he lived in a strictly religious society. He was a Jew. Jesus called him later a son of Abraham. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. Picture the scene. Crowds gathered on the streets, ready, waiting for Jesus to pass by. And at the back of the crowds, you know, right at the back, there's Zacchaeus, trying to see. You know, I remember during the time of the coronation in this country, I remember that far back, me, Ted, and a couple of others remember far back. And I remember they gave us in school these special viewfinders. They were tall cardboard boxes, very slim, and at the bottom of one was a mirror, and at the top was a mirror. So you could look in the bottom mirror, and you could look over the top of the crowd to see what was going on. Well, Zacchaeus didn't have one of those. He couldn't see. And can you imagine now? Zacchaeus in his rich clothing, he looked well off. And can you see him trying to push through? And the people turning around to see who's trying to push through. And it was Zacchaeus. Whoa, that's the last person they let through. They weren't letting Zacchaeus through to see who Jesus was. So he ran. Men in Bible days didn't run. That was something that was very not dignified to do for men. But Zacchaeus ran. He wanted to see who Jesus, what he was like. And he climbed in all his rather fine robes. He climbed up a tree. It says it was a sycamore vine tree. And he hid in the branches. The text says the miracle was his conversion. This is what happens when Jesus comes. Things change. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the night is turned to day. Things happen when Jesus, and Jesus came along that road, all the crowd, the noise, dogs barking, all the whole host of it going on, people trying to get his attention. And Jesus came along that road and stood beneath that tree. Now, let me tell you something. When Jesus looked up into that tree, he didn't say, "Anyone up there? Come on down. Come and meet with me. Anyone up there?" Jesus was specific. He knew there was a person that wanted to meet him. And so, knowing the person's name, he cried, "Zacchaeus, come down. He knows your name this morning. He knows you intimately. He knows who you are. He knows where you're from. He knows where you live. He knows your circumstances. He knows you by name. Salvation is, yes, general, all, but Jesus deals with a specific person. When Brian and his dear wife went to the Roker Park all those years ago, he knew Brian, and Jackie was there. When many of you came to this church for the first time, he knew you by name. I remember when I went to church on a Wednesday evening to see what was going on because my friends from school, God knew I was coming. And God knows all about, he's intimate with every detail of your life. He knew Zacchaeus was a crook. He knew Zacchaeus was hated by those all around. But Jesus called him by name, Zacchaeus. Come down. You have to come down to meet with Jesus. And let me tell you, if you want to meet with Jesus, or you are prepared to meet with Jesus this morning, you have to come down. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were. You have to come down. You have to come down off your lofty perch. I'm better than anyone else. I don't need this salvation. I'm too intelligent for this business of Christianity. I'm too clever. It's beyond my intellect. I have to commit intellectual suicide to be a Christian. Whatever your excuse today, let me tell you, you have to come down. You have to recognize that you're a sinner and you need the Savior. Zacchaeus was a seeking sinner. And Jesus was the seeking Savior, and the two met. And today the Bible teaches all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't care who you are this morning. We respect you. We welcome you. And I don't care whether you are the Pope or the Queen on the throne. With all respect to them, they're still sinners and they need a Savior. And today you need Jesus to be your Savior. And Zacchaeus felt this and realized this, and he came down from that tree to Jesus. And Jesus says, come on, I'm coming home with you. I'm coming home with you. Salvation has come to your house. I've come to meet your needs, Zacchaeus. And let me tell you today, you can take Jesus home with you. Not religion, but Jesus, who's come to seek and to save those who are lost. Perhaps you've not yet come to Jesus. Perhaps you've not made that step of acknowledging, I'm a sinner, and I'm bound for a lost eternity. I'm at war with God, the Bible says, if I've not received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. There's a battle going on for my soul. There's a devil out there that wants to take you into a lost eternity. This is what the Bible teaches. This is why Jesus came, to seek and save those who are lost. And today, you can come down. Come down off your lofty perch. Come down off your self-righteous, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I don't need this Jesus. Listen, do you know what the Bible says about you as self-righteousness? You are saying, I'm okay, I'm intelligent, I want to make my way in the world. The Bible says that all your righteousness, all those things that are right about you, they're just like filthy rags in God's sight. And Jesus has come to meet with you. Jesus has come to call you by name, to call you to the foot of the cross where he died to take away your sin and to deal with it once and for all. No other way, no other name. And there are a multitude of religions clamoring for your attention in this world today. We live in a multi-religious world where they will tell you that every religion is on the same level. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only one that's died to deal with man's greatest problem and his sin. Jesus is the only way. And other religions are just masks. They are masks and shadows of the right way. And Jesus says to Zacchaeus, come. The prophet Isaiah earlier said these words, spoken hundreds of years earlier. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you know, there's not always going to be this opportunity. There is going to come a day where it's going to be too late. There is going to come a day when perhaps you are called from this scene of time by death, or there's going to come a day when the end will come and the whole world will be rolled up and it'll be too late. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God. After death, the judgment, too late. Now is the time to come down. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said there in verse 5, make haste, come down. Behold, now is the accepted time, I've said. In 2 Corinthians, it says those words. But in Mark chapter 10, we meet Jesus and the meeting of Bartimaeus. And the people say to Bartimaeus, rise, he's calling you, come quickly. It's an urgent call. It's a now call. It's not a tomorrow call or later when I understand it all better, when I feel like it, when I suddenly feel my sins. Now is the day of salvation. This is the time to get right with God. It's your opportunity. You might have another one. It's a humbling call. Come down. An old hymn records the words, you've heard me say it once. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. A modern song says, at the foot of the cross where love and mercy meet. That's where Jesus wants to meet you. Young people, you were saying, oh, this is only for older people. And older people, you were saying, well, I've managed so far, so I'll carry on as I am. Jesus knew his name, Zacchaeus. The call was not vague. Jesus knew he was up there, and he knew that he was seeking. Jesus knows where you are. He knows your name. He knows really deep in heart you're seeking. You come perhaps for the first time today. Jesus knows what's going on in your heart, and he's ready to come to you. He's ready to come to you. Do you know? You can't come unless you call, the Bible teaches. You can't come unless you hear him calling. You hear him calling. You might not understand what's happening. You might feel a tugging in your heart. You don't understand it. You don't like it. You don't understand all that's going on. Jesus is calling today, tenderly calling you today to come. Listen, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Believing is receiving. And Bible believing isn't vague, isn't something that says, I believe, and you go on living as you want to live, doing the things that you did before. Bible believing is very, very different. It means to trust. It means to hold on to. It means to roll everything on him, to cling to him. It's not a vague, abstract thing. It's something when you throw your whole lot. There's a word repentance in the Bible, and it means not just to feel sorry for, it means to stop. Stop going that way where you're doing your own thing, where you're living for self. And let me tell you, it's hell bound. away from God where there is no life. Repentance means you turn around and you go God's way. You walk the road that Jesus walked. You live for Jesus. You come his way. Zacchaeus knew he was saved because Jesus told him he was. Today salvation comes to your house. And Zacchaeus knew he was saved because he started giving his money away. Let me tell you, things happen when you really become a Christian. When God does a work in you, when the power of God comes into your life, you'd start doing strange things, and some of us have learned to give away money. It's Jesus. Jesus does amazing things. John records in his letter, "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Listen, he sees you, he knows you, he wants you. He knows what he's getting when he saves you. He's not appalled by your life. He doesn't say, "Oof, you can't come, your life's too bad." He doesn't say, you can't come because you're too snooty. You were very important to God. Let that sink into your heart. It's an old gospel song that says, when Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind, and you can personalize that. The Lord sees you and really sees you. Zacchaeus went home with Jesus. Let me ask you, will you go home with Jesus? Will you take Jesus home, not just to your home physically, but into your heart and into your life? Take him as Lord and Savior and live a new life. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and life more abundantly." Life with a capital L. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, just have your way now. Have your way. Take the spoken word into hearts and lives here today. Many of us can rejoice, Lord, in this salvation. Many of us can rejoice that, Lord, you found us. We like to think we found you, but you found us, actually. Lord, we thank you for that. But we know there are some here today who have never heard the gospel like this, have never heard that Jesus loves them, that Jesus has come for them. And we pray, God, our Father, by your Spirit, you do your work now, that the great work of salvation will be done in hearts and in lives here. Oh, Father, we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.